Joy to the world. The Lord has come. We've already been singing about it this morning. We sing it in our carols. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Christmas cards and decorations are covered with the word joy at this time of year, aren't they? But have we really stopped to think about what joy means? What does that word mean to you? What does joy mean to you this Sunday morning, sitting in Drummond School in the centre of Edinburgh? Joy, is it happiness? Or is it something more than that? How many of you have ever truly been happy? Happy to the point where your face hurts, where your stomach is sore with laughing? Happy to the point where tears run down your eyes, or just that inner sense of true bliss with whatever you're experiencing at that moment. Perhaps you start thinking of some things that have brought you happiness. Passing those exams that you worked so, so hard for. Maybe getting your first job or getting a promotion at work. Maybe you've earned a distinction in some music competition, or being awarded a prize at school or some high honour. Maybe it's just you've won a sporting event or won a race that you're in. Maybe it's you remember when she said yes to that very important question. Maybe it was the birth of your first child. Many experiences like this can bring us happiness. But I want to go a little bit beyond those descriptions and talk about the joy described in the Bible. This joy that God wants us to know and wants us to experience. You know, we hear a lot about joy at Christmas time, at this time of the year. And I wonder even if at times you feel you're under a lot of pressure to experience joy and to be joyful. It's Christmas, so you should be full of joy. I wonder what your recipe is this morning for joy at Christmas. There's many recipes out there, to use the analogy. Many people believe that if you combine a large number of family and friends with the right gifts and the right meals, if you mix all these together, that you'll have joy. But what if you aren't surrounded by a large number of family and friends? What if the economy has been hard on you and you aren't able to fill your house with these gifts? Does that mean you're unable to experience joy? Our story this morning that Christian read to us is about Mary and Elizabeth, who must have experienced an impossible joy. Impossible joy. Because it's the story of two women who were pregnant, who really couldn't be pregnant. The babies in their wombs were not there naturally. This was God at work. This is the stuff of miracles. You see, the angel Gabriel had appeared to Mary and told her that she would be with a child, even though she was a virgin. She was also told that her elderly, barren relative Elizabeth would have a child as well. So we read when we broke into the story that after the angel had appeared to Mary, she immediately travelled to see Elizabeth. Perhaps Mary felt that Elizabeth could somehow relate to her situation. She needed that support. Perhaps that's why Gabriel told Mary about Elizabeth. But our text said that Mary hurried. She got ready and hurried. She didn't waste any time. She set off. And so she arrives at the home of Elizabeth and greets her. And then what happens? Our story tells us that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And as Elizabeth explained to Mary, "As soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Elizabeth's child leaped for joy at Mary's greeting. It was a joy given to Elizabeth. And then we read that Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, received prophetic inspiration and said to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you bear." The Spirit also reveals to her that Mary is indeed the mother of her Lord. She knew that this was the fulfillment of Scripture. This was the Messiah sent by God. And joy to Elizabeth was seeing the fulfillment of those prophecies of old and knowing that God's promises were coming true. So joy in this story begins with two women in impossible circumstances. Both of them are miraculously pregnant. One was barren and past childbearing years, and yet, like Sarah and Hannah in the Old Testament, God provides Elizabeth with a child, despite her age, despite her physical condition. The child, John, who would become John the Baptist, he would be the very last of the old-style prophets, heralding the fulfillment of God's promise to send the Messiah. The other, Mary, she was a virgin at the very beginning of her childbearing years, and yet God conceived in her a child without the help of a man. And this child, Jesus, would be the foundation of a new covenant, the Messiah that God had long ago promised. All children are a gift. And there's nothing quite like the birth of your child. I've had that privilege four times. It's been great. Very happy, very joyful occasions. And nothing really quite prepares you for the birth of a child. When a new child enters into the world, it is a cause for wonder and for joy. Many people indeed call the birth of a new child a miracle. How infinitely more so in the story of Mary and Elizabeth. Both pregnancies were impossible. Both were miraculous. Both were part of God's plan of salvation, and brought, amongst many other emotions, joy to those two mothers. Joy. God's making it clear here that He brings new things into the world. God's plan of salvation isn't anything to do with man's efforts, but of God's hand reaching down miraculously and mysteriously into our world. The baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy when Mary greeted her. Something miraculous was at work. Miracles were happening. God was moving. And through it all, He was creating joy. So our first point is this: that ultimately, joy is a gift of God. Joy is a gift of God. It is, according to the Bible, a fruit of the Spirit. A fruit that God brings about in the lives of those who are available and obedient to Him. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she was filled with joy. And Mary, as we read on, and as Christian read, was also filled with joy, and she burst into song and rejoiced at what God was doing. In John's Gospel, Jesus tells Nicodemus that a person must be born again, born anew, born from above. You see, images of birth surround the message of salvation. Born again, born anew, new birth, new creations. We become children of God. The births of John and Jesus, and eventually the new birth of those who submit their lives to Jesus and His message, all remind us that something new is happening. And to get in on it, to be part of it, is to know a joy that can only come from God. So joy has as its very source God. And here in this story, the source of joy is specifically about the coming of the Messiah into the world, and the joy of being part of the events surrounding it. A question for all of us: do you have that joy? Have you experienced that joy. Because joy isn't something you can purchase. Joy isn't something that you can unwrap as a Christmas gift. Joy ultimately is because of a relationship with God. Do you have joy? If not, and if you'd like that joy, all you have to do is say yes to Jesus, inviting him into your life and allowing him to light that candle of joy in your heart. Joy is a gift of God. Secondly, joy may be accompanied by challenges. Joy is frequently mixed with adversity, with struggles, with difficulties. Sometimes to truly understand joy, one has to understand sorrow or pain. It's true in this story that we read, Mary, she certainly knew the joy of being used by God, but she also knew, I'm certain, a degree of social stigma. Having an illegitimate child was not a cause for celebration in Jewish culture. Rather, it was a cause for rejection, for isolation, for ridicule, and even for stoning in those days. No doubt Mary would become the focus of gossip, people talking about her. I'm sure Mary was also anxious, anxious about what God had asked her to do, anxious about bringing up and raising the Messiah. Challenges, adversity, difficulties, anxiety, but Mary trusted and willingly followed God's call on her life and was obedient to him. To know joy, we have to also be willing to sacrifice as Mary did, to obey as Mary did, and to submit ourselves to God as she did. Sometimes, you know, God will call us to do things that we would have never imagined would bring us joy. Someone has said that joy is actually the byproduct of being obedient to God, and it certainly was for Mary. So our second point is this, that joy may be accompanied by challenges. But if joy is first and foremost something that we receive from God's gracious hand because we're available and obedient like Mary, then when God calls us to do something that may be challenging, that may be difficult, we can face those challenges just as Mary did. Joy comes from obedience. Joy is the byproduct of successfully facing challenges that God's call involves. Jesus, in John 15, when talking to his disciples, said this, If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. If you obey my commands. When God calls us to do something and we do it and face the challenges as a result, God promises that he will help us through. And that will bring joy, complete joy. It's a deeper joy than the world can give because it enables us to face life and sustains us through testing times. Joy is a gift of God. Joy may be accompanied by challenges. But thirdly, joy leads to worship. Joy leads to worship. As we read in our story, Mary just starts singing and rejoicing at what God is doing. She praises God. Rejoicing is simply our joy directed toward God in worship. Mary breaks out just in spontaneous song from verse 46 in what is now called Mary's Magnificat. My soul glorifies the Lord, she sang. It was a made-up song, but it's the kind of spontaneous reaction that occurs in those most joyful moments of life. But as she sings, what she expresses is far more than just a passing happiness at the good news of her pregnancy. Instead, Mary is expressing some of the greatest hopes and dreams of her people, the Israelite people, which will now be fulfilled through the baby growing within her. Can you imagine something that you've been waiting for, longing for a whole lifetime? Something your ancestors before you have been waiting for, and now it's about to happen. How can you help but be excited? And Mary certainly was. Mary rejoices with joy and glorifies God. I wonder how many of you have heard Handel's Messiah. Although it's some time ago, I've heard it on a couple of occasions. And I especially enjoy the Hallelujah chorus. Now, traditionally, when the Hallelujah chorus is sung, the audience all stands. And they do that because the very first performance of Handel's Messiah, the audience applauded so loudly and all turned to the composer Handel. And as they did, Handel rose. Silently he rose and he pointed with his finger to heaven, silently indicating that the glory for this magnificent piece of music should be given to God rather than to himself. In the same way, Mary's praise of God indicates that she also knew to whom the glory for this special event should be given. The glory for the miraculous coming of the Messiah should go to God and not to her. So in worship, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, acknowledging him as creator and Lord of the universe. Joy leads to worship. There's some wonderful examples in the Bible of joy, of spontaneous joy. Think of Ezra chapter 3. It's an example of worshiping the Lord with joy. When the builders of the temple had finished their work, we read that the priests and the Levites, they gathered together to celebrate the completion of the work. The priests had their trumpets, and the Levites had their cymbals, and together they praised the Lord and sang to him. And this is what they sang. He is good. His love to Israel endures forever. And we read on that all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. We read that many of the older priests and Levites and the family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sounds of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. Bursting with excitement, exploding with joy. The New Testament, Peter also reminds us why we should rejoice with joy. From 1 Peter chapter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. New beginning into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. New birth leads to joy, and joy leads to worship. Lastly, joy is something to share with others. Isn't it interesting that God chose Mary and Elizabeth to bear these children? And isn't it interesting that he chose two women who were related? Perhaps though this was so that they could share this experience together. They could go through this journey together. It meant neither of them was alone in their unusual circumstances. But it also meant that they could experience joy and share joy. There is a joy when we know we're part of God's plan. And when we're fulfilling God's purpose in our lives, we will experience joy. Both Elizabeth and Mary had unique and specific roles in God's plan. Both would give birth to a son, each of whom had a destiny, and each had a call on their lives. One was infinitely greater than the other, but God chose both of them. Elizabeth and Mary would ultimately be called to share their joy of having these sons with each other. Ultimately, both sons would be killed because of the rules they would fulfill in God's plans. John the Baptist would be beheaded for speaking the truth. Jesus would be crucified for being the truth. But neither Mary nor Elizabeth could contain the joy that they felt. Both had to share it with one another. And ultimately, they would have to share it with the world. This is the same, and this is true of us. This joy we know is a joy we share. And the funny thing is that as we share joy, it doesn't mean we have less. It doesn't mean we give it away. It actually means we have more. Joy increases the more we give it away. I'm reminded of the occasion when the two Marys went to the tomb of Jesus after his crucifixion and burying. Another angel was involved in that story, and as she spoke to the woman, as the angel spoke to the woman, he said, "He is not here. He is risen just as he had said." But what happens next in the story is remarkable. It says, "So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples." They were afraid. What's happening? But they were filled with joy, and the first thing they did was they ran to tell others. So this morning, if you know the joy of the Lord, know also that when you share it, when you give it away, it will only increase your joy. A question for each of you. Have you shared your joy recently? Have you told others about the joy that only comes from God? Have you asked the Lord to help you light a candle of joy in someone else's heart this Christmas? When the angel appeared to the shepherds on that mountainside, the angels said to them, "I bring you good news of what? Good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Good news of great joy for all people. That's what this season is all about. Does the good news of Jesus bring you joy, great joy? Does the Holy Spirit fill you with joy? Have you, like Mary and Elizabeth, made yourself available for joy through a life of devotion and obedience? Are you willing to face the challenges that a life with God will bring if it means knowing an impossible joy, a joy that only God can bring into your life? Just as he brought that child, Jesus, his son, into the world almost 2,000 years ago. I hope for you that joy isn't limited to what you find in your stockings this year or in those parcels under the tree. I hope that your joy will amount to more than all the good food you'll eat. I hope your joy is deeper even than the joy we know and experience when we're with family and friends. And if for you this morning joy seems impossible, just remember the words of Gabriel to Mary when he visited her. For nothing is impossible with God. And that's my prayer for all of us this Christmas, that we will all know an impossible joy. For that's the joy that only God can bring. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let's remember this morning that joy is a gift of God. And the source of joy is only found in a relationship with him. True joy is only available to those who trust and believe in Jesus as the Savior of the world. Joy is a gift of God. Joy may be accompanied by challenges, struggles, adversity, difficulties, rejection, ridicule. But if we obey him, if we trust him, he has promised to be with us and not only help us through, but in those circumstances to bring us joy. Thirdly, joy leads to worship. May joy lead us this morning to worship him and over this Christmas time, to rejoice in the coming of the Messiah, rejoice in the experience of new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And may we all be willing, more than that, may we be encouraged and have a real desire to share our joy with others and tell them, like the angels did to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy. Who is willing to share their joy with others today, tomorrow, this week, over this Christmas time? Because there is no greater news than the news of Jesus coming to earth at Christmas time. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that this morning as we think of joy, we know that joy only comes because it is a gift from you. Joy is only found when we have a right relationship with you. But for those who are here this morning who trust and believe in him, we thank you that that can lead us to worship you. Worship you for coming at this time, for being our Savior, for being the one who one day would die and give his life so that we could enjoy that new birth of living hope. Father, we recognize that at times life may be challenging. We may have struggles and difficulties to face, but if we trust in you, you've promised to be with us and to allow us to experience that joy even during difficult times. Father, for all of us, may we likewise share that good news to others. Share the good news of great joy so that others too may for the first time experience what it means to have joy in their life. We ask this in the name of our Heavenly Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.